Mount for a text today and a subject. The subject will go further than that, but as time moves along, we'll have to probably only get part of this sermon today. I don't know how that will all work out. But I invite you to Matthew chapter 6. And our text, our title, comes from a phrase out of verse 20. And I'm just going to write it. Treasures in heaven. And I would like to think of this subject in two parts. The first will be principles for this, and then practices. And I thought of different titles, to subtitles to put with this, and maybe one of them, how to get rich quick. Wait, that's not quite grammatically correct. It's supposed to be rich quickly, I guess, although it's usually said that way in my hearing. How to get rich. But wait a minute, is that what Jesus taught us? How to get rich quick? Is this was the burden of his message? How to get true riches that last forever. Well, that's kind of messy, isn't it? And it does work out that way in life as well. Sometimes getting rich quick looks a lot easier, and yet it isn't. Rich people really happy? You look at the suicides, you look at the murders, you look at the suicide murders. You almost don't want to even look at any news anymore because it happens among the poor people, but it's a messed up world. And especially among those who are celebrities or extremely wealthy, have everything that everybody wants to have. Do you want to get rich quick, or do you want true riches that are gotten Jesus' way? Now, another phrase that I thought of, so heavenly minded. That we're no earthly good. Oh, wait a minute. Is that possible? Is that where we really want to go? So heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good? Well, let's see if we can change that to a different title. So heavenly minded, so we can be. So we can be of earthly good. That doesn't sound quite right, but I think you get the point. Being heavenly minded so we can be of earthly good. And this is their title, right? Riches, treasures in heaven, how to get true riches that last forever, and how to be so heavenly minded so that we can be of earthly good, because that is the true riches. And the last point I want to make on this first principle is that it's totally opposite from our human instinct. And that's what has to die all the time. I mean, yeah, well, enough of that as you go along. So we're going to read this passage. I would like for... is it too much to ask you to stand? And for the ladies to, we men are kind of odd, so we'll read the odd verses and you even us out, so you'll read the even verses, okay? And we'll just all stand right now and we'll start with verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. Men, these are the words of Jesus all the way through here together. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, How great is that darkness? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you. You may be seated. My, how do you put all of that into practice? Well, I want to just keep reading because the thought just flowed from one thing to another, of laying up treasures in heaven and going on to the fact that you can't serve both and the whole emphasis of trust in God. Now, we know that the New Testament also teaches us that 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. It pulls out of the creation principle, and if any will not work, neither shall he eat. And so we find that these things balance each other out, but this cannot be our bottom line goal. I want to get rich. In fact, if you look at, well, maybe that'll come up in one of the points here, but he talks about your eye being evil. And for a long time, I was really stumped with why he would bring that in. I thought maybe it was more in the idea of lust, and that should have been stuck in with some of these verses about adultery. But no, verses 22 and 23 are right between laying up treasures in heaven and trying to serve two masters and being God and money. So it has to do with that. And it does, because if you go to Deuteronomy and you go to Proverbs, this theme flows all the way through the Bible that the evil eye meant somebody who you thought they were looking at this, but what they were really doing was looking at that. You thought they had your good in mind, and Proverbs especially says, he says, don't go eat with somebody that's a powerful person, because he'll sit down and he'll make you feel like he's all about serving you, but really what he's after is your money. And that's in, let's see, I have that written down here somewhere, further down in my notes, Proverbs 23, verse 6. But in Deuteronomy 15:9, Deuteronomy 28:54-56, Proverbs 23:6, Proverbs 28:22, and in Luke 11, of course, the same way. The whole idea is an evil eye is a person whose attention is for selfish gain. The bottom line is he's going to get the best end of the bargain. And that's what the Bible calls an evil eye. And if you are determined to get the best end of the bargain, whether it's with your family or whether with your neighbors, or whether it's in a business partnership you're in, or whatever it is, the Bible says you have an evil eye. And I'm not going to get onto that subject a lot this morning, but that's just clarifying to you. In verses 22 and 23, he's not talking about looking at bad stuff. He's talking about if you have the ulterior motive that you're going to get whatever you can what you get, and then sit on the lid, like they say sometimes, that is an evil eye, because he wants you to live with an open hand. Now, back to this subject. I would like to think about principles this morning, first of all, that about this. And so, as Jesus says, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven Because where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. And so the principle that I'd like to start out with is that it's one person, two phases. I didn't know whether to say one existence, you are you, okay? And you've been you ever since you were born. You weren't somebody else. Ever since you were born, you were you, and you started accumulating memories, and the memories go with you all through your life, and someday you will die, and the moment you die, you will still be you. The only thing that you lose is your body, but you're already, some of you are gaining body. I can't believe how fast some of these young people grow up. Grandchildren, whoa, growing up. But at the same time, it's hard to believe how quickly we get old and start losing faculties. But that's you. And inside that body that grows stronger and then decay and then death. When the rich man woke up on the other side, he was still him. And the thought life that he had while he was here, he still had. And while he was here is, how can I please my tongue? And as soon as he woke up in hell, or we hear what he was thinking is, how can I get somebody to give me what I want? That's what he's after. How can I get what I want? How can I, is that what you want? Is that the way you live now? If that's the way you live now, that's the way you always be. How can I give? How can I serve? How can I please my Lord? How can I please? When you wake up, you'll still be that same person. Because it's one person, two phases. A phase is, it seems different, but it's still the same you, the same person. Now, we know that heaven and eternity is very different than now. There's a lot of things about earth life and discomforts that's here that won't be there. But I'm troubled as I read obituaries. How many? Everybody's going to a better place. Everybody's going to a better place. And I'm sorry, but that's not what our Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. And that is the truth. We heard that in our devotions this morning. And it's the truth. The truth is in this book. The truth is in what Jesus taught. And he is the one who shows us the way to live. Now, this is, the number two, is our eternal existence. Must be understood by faith. I have nothing on earth to prove to you that if you give your life away, lay down your life and give your money and give your resources and dedicate it to other people, that if you do that, you will lay up treasures in heaven that one day you will experience. That has to be understood by faith. This is something you can only say, I have no proof for this, except as you watch people who live on selfishly, even though their life may get harder and harder, they get happier and happier. Because of the fact that they have been laying up treasures in heaven. We are linked by what we choose here will determine what we have and be there. We will live then forever with the memories of choices we made here, with relationships that we make now. Our anticipation of that world is to carry us through times of trouble in this life. Pardon me, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But the whole reason that we are on earth is because he wants us in eternity with him, but the only way we can understand that is by faith. You can't prove it by anything else. Everybody dies and they look the same, basically. They go out the same one after another. Now, the third thing I'd like to say is Jesus is our only, may I say, window into eternity. I guess I can, I'll put it here. In fact, there's this very fascinating verse in John chapter 3. Now, I love John chapter 3 because he explains to Nicodemus about you must be born again and how that happens. But as he's sitting down there and telling him about it, he says something. Look over at John 3. In John chapter 3, it's the born-again chapter. It's an experience that you have to go through to have your old, sinful, selfish, evil nature transformed into being a giving, caring nature. And then he says this. He says, we speak about the things that we already know. Verse 11, John 3:11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He said, I'm telling you about stuff that I know very well because I've been on the other side of eternity. I've been out there. I've been in heaven. I've been in the presence of God. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Huh. I thought he was on earth talking to Nicodemus. He says, I'm in heaven. Only Jesus could say something like that, because what he saw, what he knew, he was there. He really was there on earth, but he really was up there in heaven. But he was a mortal man. I don't understand that, because he took on all of the aspects of human nature. He was a mortal man, but yet he understood the whole picture, and you and I only see part of it. So in order to understand treasures in heaven, we have to listen to his teaching, and he is the only window into heaven. We're talking about podcasts and blogs and all that kind of thing this morning. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is our only reliable source. He is our only reliable, eternal source. And the more closely you walk with him here, the more real that will feel and be to you for there as we come. He that hath seen me, Jesus said, see, Philip said, show us the Father. And what did Jesus say? He that hath seen me, hath seen the Father. Why showest thou, how sayest thou yet, show us the Father? I've showed you God. I've showed you the Father. And that's why we want to read and listen to Jesus, read about what he says, and listen to what he says, because we want to see the Father. Now, number four, I don't know if I'm making these separately here. Some of this, the next thing I will say is, though unseen, the eternal reality is the greater. In other words, in phase one, you and I are getting ready for phase two. But when phase two, you can never go back and redo phase one. It's sealed. This is the greater, and yet the reality is the greater. You already know this, don't you? But we need to be told again. The fact of the matter is it's really important what you do now, because this life isn't important at all. Why did I say that? Because what you do now determines what you will have whenever you get over there. And he says, lay up your treasures, put your treasure in heaven, because when you get there, you're going to get that. So is this life important? Absolutely. Is it important to get rich here? Well, it depends what kind of riches you're talking about. If it's treasures in heaven, yes, it's very important. Why? And Jesus gave us the motive why. And I wanted to spend some time on this. I didn't make a point of it. But the fact is, our logic follows, can I say this? Our heart. Does that make sense? Our logic follows our heart? Can you set your affection on things above? He says that. Set your affection on things above. But what you love is what you think about, and what you think about is what you chase. And this verse plainly says you need to set your treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you put your investment, I don't know if I got that right. Think about that saying. Our logic, our thinking, our thoughts. Let's just say it that way. Our thoughts, our passions, and your thoughts are spilling out all the time. They spill out all the time. Out in the things you dream, what you do in your spare time, what you do with your phone, what you do with your relationship, what you do with when you wake up, what you do when you drift off to sleep. Your thoughts are you. But our thoughts will follow where we have, and this is what we have decided is important. What we value. That's our affections, makes our thoughts follow along. And I probably should have got that a little more clean, a little more clear, but that is so very important. Now, right now, we have temporal assets. Number six, right now, we have temporal assets. And Jesus, in this passage, keeps talking about to be seen of men. To be seen of men. He says, don't do your alms to be seen of men. Don't fast to be seen of men. Don't do your religion to be seen of men. One of those assets is our reputation. And you know how this can be when you feel like your reputation is being attacked, or what you need to do to build reputation, and you find out how much it means to you. If your reputation is gone, or you think it's gone, but it's not just our reputation. The more of our assets are our material wealth, too. Wealth. And I'm just going to keep that short for that. It's your wealth. But number three, another asset you have is your attention. Set your affection, set your treasures on things above. Of course, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so our attention, things we pay attention to. And it's been interesting to me that attention, number four, time. And then number five is needs around us, needy people. That's an asset? Are needy people an asset? Are people with problems an asset? How can they be an asset? Only in a heavenly kingdom dimension. Because if you can help somebody solve their problems, if you can help somebody get right with God, in Luke chapter 16, we have that fascinating story of the unjust steward. And the unjust steward was, I'm going to lose my spot. My existence here is very temporary. And when it's over, it's over. I only have a little opportunity to serve other people, okay? And when it's over, it's gone. What can I do? I'll take the people who owe my master money and I'll reduce their debts. Because if I help them get right with my master, they will give me their resources. And Jesus wasn't telling us to be cheaters. He was telling us to think about how to help people get reconciled with their master. And then he calls this true riches. That could be the other title. True riches is the other title. Because it's how you get people reconciled and they're ready to be right in eternity that will give you true riches and give you treasures in heaven. Because he says, if you haven't been faithful in that which is least, if you haven't been faithful in the little opportunities, the needy people around you, the stuff that goes on, you haven't been faithful with your time, you haven't been faithful with your attention, you haven't been faithful with your wealth, you haven't been faithful, reputation means too much to you, then they're not going to trust to you true riches. And the true riches are there. Or are they? That is the challenge that we face. Okay, now I ran out of room here. Number seven, I'm going to say true riches, T-R, or treasures in heaven, only comes by intentional
choice.
He says, lay up for yourselves. That means think about it. How can I make an intentional choice, and how can I have true riches? How can I do this? And yet, Matthew chapter 25, verse 37, there were people that they got their rewards, and he said, when I was hungry, you took me in. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick and in prison, you came and visited me. And what did they say? They did that intentionally, but what did they say when the Lord reminded them that they had done this for him? What did they say? We don't ever remember doing that. So it's intentional, but not on record. Personal. Let's stick the word personal in here. It's not on their personal record. Because if you're listing all your things that you have done good for other people, and it's getting longer and longer and longer, then you're going to think that I deserve to be on the right side. And I said, uh-uh. But lay up for yourselves treasures so your heart goes there. And when you get there, you'll be surprised of all the stuff that he sees. Creating eternal treasures comes only by intentional choice, is what I have written down. And yet, when we throw our lives into Christian identity, just doing what Christians are supposed to do, we forget ourselves and our sacrifices. And it has to happen right where we are placed. God knows where you are placed, and every one of us has a different mission field, and yet he knows where we are placed. Others may do a greater work, and this was from our breakfast cards that we used to read when I was a little boy growing up. Others may do a greater work, but you have your work to do, and no one in all God's heritage can do it as well as you. Got that? Others may do a greater work, but you have your work to do. Now, last thing I wanted to say was that earthly riches, earthly acquiring earthly treasures, are acquired opposite from heavenly riches. Now, we're running out of time, but I'm just going to pull from your memory. If you know the Sermon on the Mount, what are the things that Jesus said that if you do this, that it will lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? And we're going to spill out beyond that. In fact, I have a pamphlet prepared, and if you would like to have a copy, I have enough for everybody that might want one. I'll let them up here in the pulpit. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. What does he say? And why are you blessed if you are persecuted? Why are you blessed if you are rejected? Why are you blessed if people don't like you because you're choosing the right path? Why? And the rest of the verse says, against you, all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for what? Great is your reward in heaven. That's a treasure. So persecution practices. Number one, a life that gets persecution. But I don't want a life that gets hurt. I don't like to hurt. I just want to fit in everywhere. I want everybody to like me. Yeah, but if you're doing what's right because of eternal values, Jesus said, blessed are you. Okay? Let me give you another one. Take heed that you do not your blank before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Alms. Okay. Alms. What are alms? Money given. Right? And you got to do it secretly. Because if you do it and other people know that it's done, then what? You get your reward now. But if you can do it and people don't know it happened. And I love that verse in Timothy where he says, some men's sins follow after them. It's secret, but everything is going to be made known. But also, the good deeds that men do, some people are doing good deeds and other people don't know who does it. But it's going to come out. And there'll be a reward for that someday. So, alms and good deeds. Well, let me give you, well, maybe you know some more. What are some things that if you do, you will receive a reward? I got a bunch of them listed here.
Feed the hungry.
Feed the hungry. Right. Help needy people. That's why I said they were an asset. Because they're an opportunity to help somebody. Help needy people. Number four.
Forgive our debtors.
Forgive debtors. Who are they? Help me with that one.
It could be somebody I think owes me something, whether it's money or whether it's an apology or whatever it is, I need to just forgive.
Need to forgive them because that's a reward in heaven.
Wow.
What about, he says, if somebody wants to borrow somebody something, lending. I should actually say borrowers. If you lend hoping not to receive again, I can't do that. If they're not going to give it back, I'm not going to lend it out. Is that what Jesus said? No, Jesus said lend hoping not to receive it again. Why? Because that gives you a reward in heaven. And did I say a while ago that this is backwards? Somewhere. Earthly treasure, there it is, are acquired opposite from heavenly riches. This is just so backwards from what we think. To put these glasses on is a lifetime journey. I wish that it could just happen to me once and forever happen after that. If you receive a prophet, you're going to receive a righteous man's reward. If you give a cup of cold water to a disciple, you won't lose your reward. If you deny yourself and take up the cross, he will reward every man according to your work. When men hate you and separate you from their company, great is your reward in heaven. If you lend to those whom you... He goes on, though I preach the gospel... Preaching is one way to get reward. Not if you get paid for it, or not if you do it grudgingly. Paul says, if I preach grudgingly, then I lose my reward. But if I preach willingly, then I'll receive a reward. And that's just kind of... serving, being misused, or being used. Not only to the good in general, this goes beyond just what the teachings of Jesus were. It comes up in Ephesians chapter 6. And Colossians chapter 3, servants, obey your masters in all things, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Well, enough for that. If you want to read more about it, somebody says that church life is only good if you start on time and if you close on time. So we'll close. Just have to. Let's kneel for prayer.